This is a question I get all the time. Well, if worship isn't about music, then why music? There's a really good answer. I'm about to give it to you. There are over 800 references in Scripture to music. Again, this is one of these things that I can't grab Scripture to back up, but this is what I personally believe. I believe that music is the only thing that comes straight from heaven, undefiled, and is undefilable. And so people are saying to me, well, what about Marilyn Manson? Marilyn Manson is taking something pure, and he's added something defiled to it. But the music in and of itself is still pure. It has not been changed, it has not been defiled, it has not been degraded. Music comes straight from heaven. There's research that shows, we'll get to that down here a little bit, but research that shows music goes directly into your heart and into your spirit. It bypasses your intellect. It bypasses your reason. Now, can I choose to engage and listen and reason? Yeah, you can. But music comes straight from heaven, I believe, and goes straight into your spirit. It bypasses my reason. It bypasses my mind. It just goes straight there. That's why music is a very powerful tool, and it can be used for good. It can be used for evil. But it is what it is. It's powerful. I can use a sword for good purposes or bad purposes. It doesn't change the sword a bit. One of the reasons we use music is to teach God's word. I will sing unto the Lord. That's Genesis. Open the eyes of my heart. That's in Hebrews. I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be opened. All of those things. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. It's all scripture stuff. I bet you know more scripture because of the songs you know than you know by rote memorization. Music is a powerful tool for that. It also helps to release God's power. When Paul and Silas were in prison, what were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns. Hymn literally means song of praise. Hymn does not mean four stanzas in a hardcover book. We sing hymns today, even though we're not singing four stanzas with no chorus in a hardcover book. Okay, so people say, can we sing hymns? Sure, we sing hymns all the time. You mean those old Charles Wesley songs? Yeah, we can do those. Those are great songs. And in 2 Chronicles 20, they began to sing and praise the Lord, and the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. They were defeated. It releases God's power. It tells of God's great works and consequently stirs up our faith. I think our worship ought to reflect who we are as a church. I read a great blog post a while back, and he said, here are 10 things you should never do and 10 things you should do. So they were the same list. The first list is the things you should never do. Don't sing the most popular songs. The things you should do is you should sing the most popular songs. And his point was, don't disregard them simply because they're the most popular songs. They're popular because people are identifying with them. They're doing something in the body of Christ. So let's go there. Let's not disregard them simply because, oh, that's popular stuff. But let's not go there simply because they're the most popular. It was a great thought, and I wish I would have printed it out. That's why I believe that one of the things we should strive to do, for a lot of reasons, is to write our own music. So I'm going to challenge you all. I'm going to be coming back here, and I want to hear you guys doing some of your own stuff. One of the reasons is it reflects who we are as a church. It gives you a way to express what's going on in your body. It may never leave the four walls of this church, and that's fine. It's not about that. It's about you expressing what God is doing in your midst. The other thing it does is it makes you a better musician. It makes you have a deeper understanding of music and how it fits together and how it works. When you sit down and you start to write a song and then you play and you go, ugh. It forces you to say, why did I have that visceral response? It's maybe because there is no C sharp in this key. It was a nice thought, but it just doesn't work. Or melodically, that doesn't really work. So it makes you better. And then as you record that and you listen it back, so a lot of reasons. But music will allow you to tell of God's great works, and consequently it stirs up our faith. This is the most important one, though. It brings unity. What do we do in the service that we all do together? We sing songs. It's the only time in the service that we're all doing the same thing. Now, my mind can still wander. I can still be thinking about the sunshine and my 20-mile bike ride this afternoon, or my fishing poles in the back seat of my truck, or whatever it is. But we're all engaged together. It's something that we do together in unity. That's why music is such an important thing. So music itself is a powerful force. Even before adding the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there seems to be some type of force in it. It affects your mood. It'll alter your buying habits. It'll relieve pain. It can reduce stress. Music can make you work more efficiently and even affect your eating habits. And the Bible confirms its power in 1 Samuel 16. It says, whenever the Spirit of God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. And then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. In 2 Kings, it says, but now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. In 1 Samuel, it says, after that you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. And as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming from the high place with what? Lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps and being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed. There it is. You will be changed into a different person. Now, did he mean literally you're going to walk in there as Andrew Dykstra and walk out as Ted Danson? Probably not. That's not what he's talking about.
Before, I didn't want to walk out.
No, that'd be a bad thing.
That's all right.
And that's exactly what happened. They went up to Gibeah, and there they were, and exactly what they said happened would happen did happen. So music is not setting the mood, although it can be for that. What I like to do is I'll take my iPod, and I usually create a playlist for before and a playlist for after. And I plug it in through the sound system. As people coming in, we play music, and that is purely to create atmosphere. Nothing wrong with that. So please don't take anything I said today as a legalistic, this is how it has to be done. I'm just trying to throw out ideas that will help you. So we want to create atmosphere. We want to create a place that is warm and welcoming, that is relevant, that looks like we gave it some thought. You know, you walk into a place and there's nothing but... That creates something.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's something we want. So if we're playing Pavlosh, or we're playing Hillsong, or we're playing New Life, or whatever it is, it creates something. There's like an expectancy if we choose the right songs. And it's something, too, that let's not just go through the drawer and, oh, that'll work, and pop that in. Not that that's wrong, necessarily.